This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And who could not rejoice? It's such a glorious day. Wow, beautiful Sunday. It is good to be with all of you, whether you're worshiping with us through live stream or you're here in the sanctuary. I'm glad to be in this time of worship with you. It's my joy to welcome you, and I would invite you to take a moment to let us know that you're here by registering your attendance. If you're worshiping online, there should be a link there you could click on to sign in. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the center of at the end of each aisle on the center row. If you would pass those down and back again, that would give you a chance to see the names of others sitting around you. And if you're sitting on the center aisle, if you have the opportunity and wouldn't mind tearing out the pages that have been filled out and placing them on top, that's a big help for our ushers. If you have been visiting with us for a little while and perhaps feel led to call this congregation your church family and to become a member officially of the church, I want to let you know there is a new member class that will be starting on September 11th. It runs for 4 weeks. It will be in person downstairs in McWhorter Hall starting at 9:45, and September 11th is the first Sunday. And you don't have to register. You can just show up. So we hope that you'll come and learn a little bit more about our congregation and move toward that official membership. That would be wonderful to have you. We have lots of ministries getting started up for the fall. Our Wednesday night ministries are beginning. On the 24th of August, we'll have Wednesday night suppers, children's choirs, and a new worship service called Encounter, an opportunity in the middle of the week to gather for worship. So you can go to our website /Wednesday and find out more details about all of that and register for dinner if you'd like to join us. In a couple of weeks, August 28th, we're having what we're calling a Jubilee Sunday, when we're hoping that everyone who is able in town and can worship in person will make a point to be here and have an opportunity to connect and see faces maybe you hadn't seen in a while. So we're going to highlight August 28th. If you worship on live stream, you live out of town or aren't able to be here in person, we invite you to worship in real time on that Sunday so you can interact with the other folks worshiping online that day. We'll have a ministry fair down in our gym. We're calling it an engagement party, ways of getting engaged in the life of the church. And our outreach committee is even putting together a gift registry of ways that you can support and provide supplies for some of our ministries like Room in the Inn. So be on the lookout for that link. Finally, I just want to say a word. You notice that Andrew's at the piano again this morning, and our organ is still being fixed. As I shared with 8:45, it's a little bit like a knee replacement. You know you need to do it, and then at some point you just say, now's the time. And it was that way with the organ. It was working, but it really needed an overhaul, and summer seemed like a good time to do that. So it's taken a little time, but we are very blessed with all of our musicians and your flexibility, and that Andrew can play just as well on the piano. It's just a wonder to behold. So thank you. And that's an invitation for all of us to follow the directions of John Wesley that are written out in your hymnal and sing lustily. So sing with vigor this morning so we can shake the rafters with our music. It is a good day to be in worship, and God meets us here. So let us open ourselves to this time together in worship.
things seen. Praise God for things hoped for.
For things you are waiting for and working toward.
Praise God for the gift of faith.
For mothers and fathers, strangers and friends, and the faithful who came before us.
We give God thanks and praise. Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are and what we carry are held within God's perfect love, who knows us intimately, who cares for us deeply, and whose compassion knows no end. Creator God, maker of all peoples, your call for justice is so clear. We are amazed at how easily we fail to hear you over the din of blinding life. We want to cease to do evil. We want to learn to do good. We want to seek justice for all of creation. Yet we rarely do all we can to defend, care for, and plead for those in need. As you have sought out, so we seek your pardon. Renew us, faith of our ancestors. May we not forget these responsibilities you've set before us. Grant us courage, we pray, as individuals, as communities, and as nations, to bring about the justice you desire. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And as a forgiven and reconciled people, we exchange signs of reconciliation in love with one another. Please do that in whatever way is comfortable for you, sending text message, a fist bump. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Emma Scholl and Spence Dabb bring their children to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Spence and Emma, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do. And will you nurture these children in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will. And my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these children now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these children with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in service with others. We will pray for them to be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in his baptism of death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and these children who receive it, to wash away sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Okay, and what name have you given your daughter?
Eloise Ann.
I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who lives within you and will be your comforter all the days of your life. And what name have you given your son?
George Wickham Dabbs.
George Wickham. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who lives within you and will be your comforter all the days of your life. Yeah. Do you want to touch the waters? Yeah, there you go, the waters of baptism. And now we're going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in each of your lives. So we're going to place hands on you, Pastor Brandon and I, and your parents, and we're all going to pray together. Eloise and George, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may live as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful lives. Amen. Okay, well, I think your church family wants to get a closer look at you. Oh, you just hold my hand. Oh, yeah. Can I hold you? Oh, I get to hold the babies again. It's so wonderful. Eloise, you want to come too with Mom and Dad? We're going to go stand right in the middle of this, your church family, because they have some promises to make to you. Look around at all of these people. They're going to help you learn what it means that God loves you unconditionally. They're going to show you what it looks like to follow Jesus. And some of them are going to be your Sunday school teachers and vacation Bible school leaders. And together we're going to go on this wonderful journey of following Jesus. So let's listen while they make their promises to you.
Will the congregation please stand and face Eloise Ann and George Wickham? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister and brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Eloise Ann and George Wickham to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Eloise Ann and George Wickham, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
For illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, with Sarah's involvement, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of those died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you. children and students to come up to the front for our blessing for the school year. We're going to pray for everyone who's getting ready to go back to school. Yeah. The pastors are going to hand you a tag, and then you can come have a seat. All right. So raise your hand if you've started school. You've had your first day of school already. Have you had your first day of school? Yeah. Raise your hand if you haven't had your first day of school yet. If you still got a few more days. Yeah. Pastor Nancy doesn't start back for a few more days. So some of us are, everybody's getting ready for school year. Some have started. Some are still getting ready. So going back to school has brings some big feelings, and they may be different for everybody. Some people may feel excited. Some people may be happy. Some people may be nervous or scared, or maybe curious, or maybe frustrated that summer is over. Sometimes we have lots of different emotions, and maybe we even feel a bunch of them at the same time. But guess what? God is always with us, and God goes with us back to school too. So you have a tag for your backpack that you can, or you can hang it in your room as a reminder of God's love for you and that God is always with you. It's also a reminder that this church family, loves you and prays for you. So this year, the tags say, you got this, so that you can remember that you can do it when things maybe are scary or frustrating or hard, but you can do it because God loves you and because God is with you and because we love you and are praying for you. So we're going to offer a blessing for all of our students, all of our teachers, for our administrators, staff, parents, because we know back to school is busy for you too, and everybody who has a different role in playing back to school time. So let's pray together. God of fresh starts and new beginnings, we bring ourselves and our big feelings before you. The world around us keeps changing, and so do things in our schools. In all the changes and all the uncertainty, God, you are our friend. You comfort us and hold us close. You whisper words of comfort, words of encouragement, words of praise. You celebrate our joys with us, and you are present with us when we are anxious or afraid. We carry lots of things with us to school, our backpacks and pencils and crayons and books, but we also carry in our hearts our feelings, unanswered questions, and hopeful expectations. There's so many things that this year might bring. What we might learn, who we might meet, and who we might become. God, you are our friend who is always with us through it all. Be with us and bless our journey in this something new. For the grown-ups going back to school, God, who is with us, be with them too. We give thanks for our teachers, our administrators, our staff, leaders, parents, caregivers, all of these people who are in our schools, our church, and on our college campuses who help us during the school year. Comfort them and hold them close. Bless their journeys. May they know your love and care and the support of this congregation. God, our friend who's full of wonder, fill their hearts, bless their hands. Bless us all this year, God. And everybody said, amen. Thank you. All right, friends, if you are 3, 4, or 5, you're going to go with me and Pastor Nancy to Children's Church. If you're older than that or younger than that, you can go back and sit with your parents. But make sure you get your, make sure you got a tag. All right, we're going to go this way.
We have lots of these left, so if you want one for your briefcase or computer case, you got this. I was a little older than this group of kids when I first fell in love with Steve Martin. If you've known me long at all, you know that Steve Martin is just one of my favorite people in the universe. I first fell in love with him as a stand-up comedian, And then when he began doing movies like All of Me and Roxanne, and then he became a playwright and went into the theater, and then he went into the bluegrass world, and that's one reason. It's really the only reason I started taking banjo lessons. And then now, he and Martin Short and Selena Gomez are collaborating around this fabulous show on Hulu. Have any of you seen Only Murders in the Building? Oh, it's so good. If you haven't seen it, it's worth getting Hulu at least for 7 weeks so you can watch it. This second season has only 2 episodes left. They drop on Tuesday night. If you haven't seen it, it's a show about these 3 people who are strangers initially living in an apartment building, and a murder happens. And so the 3 of them begin to collaborate, and so they start making a podcast about the murder in the building. So it's a TV show about a podcast about a murder. So David and I are now in the habit of, on Tuesday nights, we watch the latest episode, and then on Wednesday morning, I get up, get in my car, and put on a podcast about the television show, about the podcast about a murder. So next thing, I'm waiting for a television show about the podcast, about the television show about the podcast. It's all very meta. So if you appreciate the meta perspective on things, you're going to enjoy the next 3 weeks of worship, because I'm going to go all meta on you. I'm going to be preaching a sermon to you, my congregation, about a sermon that was preached to a congregation 2,000 years ago. We're going to be spending the next 3 weeks in the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews is actually, most scholars think, really a sermon more than it is a letter. The person who offered this sermon calls it an exhortation. And if we read it, we can tell from the way it's written that this is a pastor, a preacher, who knows this congregation. Perhaps he has been their pastor for a while, or maybe he grew up among them, but he's done life with them at some point. And he's come to learn a little bit about how they're doing now. And he's concerned. And so he wants to send them this word of exhortation, this word of encouragement. And as a preacher and a pastor, that's what I do as well. When I sit down with a scripture text to study it for the upcoming sermon, I bring you with me. I think about what is happening in your lives and the conversations that I've had over the past few weeks. I think about what's going on in our world and how it's affecting all of us. And I bring all of that with me, and I sit down with God's word and I listen for what the word might be for us on the upcoming Sunday. What is it that we need to hear? And I'm right there with you, listening. And I bring to you each Sunday what I think I'm hearing and invite you to hear for yourselves. But sometimes we need a word of comfort. Sometimes we need a word of hope. Sometimes we need a word that challenges us and convicts us and calls us to accountability. Sometimes we need a word that just reminds us of our own belovedness. We need different things at different times. And thanks be to God, the scriptures always speak into our lives when we listen. And so in this moment, in this sermon that was offered 2,000 years ago by this preacher whose name we don't even know, what he saw was a congregation that was exhausted. This congregation is tired. We have to fill in the blanks about why. Perhaps they've been doing their best to follow Jesus in a world that's dominated by empire. They're trying to live the way of love and generosity and mercy and justice under the thumb of the Roman Empire. Maybe it's because they're trying to establish a community of faith that looks different from any other community they've ever seen, with people of different economic status and class and ethnicity and gender and all of these things. And they're trying to live into that unity and oneness in a culture that's very divided by status and class and all of those things. Maybe they're tired because they're being persecuted. They are a peculiar people in the eyes of the world, and they were experiencing some of that kind of persecution. They're getting tired of walking the walk. And so the preacher offers them a sermon, a word of exhortation, a word of encouragement, a word to cheer them on. He says in chapter 12, I know that your hands are drooping and your knees are sinking. I know that you're tired, but keep the faith. Buck up your knees, stand up straight. It's as if he reaches down and lifts them up by the chin to remind them of who they are and the journey that they're on. And so over these next 3 weeks, we're going to explore how it is that this ancient preacher encourages his congregation to keep the faith. What we hear about this morning is how he defines faith, and he gives them an example of Abraham and Sarah. He says these words that I think are worth knowing by heart and repeating to ourselves. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not yet seen. Faith is believing that God is going to accomplish what God promises God will accomplish. Faith is believing that despite all signs to the contrary, love wins. Faith is keeping the hope alive that God is at work even now, bringing about the kingdom of God, manifesting the beloved community in our midst, working for justice and righteousness and mercy, even if it remains unseen to our eyes. And to flesh that out, he reminds them of the story of Abraham and Sarah. He says, remember Abraham and Sarah way back in the book of Genesis? God called them and promised them that they would be the forebears of a great nation whose numbers would outnumber the stars in the sky. And God told them to leave the land they were living and set out on a journey to a place they had never seen before. And the preacher says, you know what? They did. They stepped out because they believed in the promises of God. And they took this journey, leaving behind everything they knew, because they could see in their heart, in their mind's eye, the promised land. The preacher of Hebrews calls it a better country, a heavenly place. They could see a vision of the kingdom of God being manifest before them, and they set out to move toward it in faith. And then the preacher says, and they died before the promise was fulfilled. Yes, they had a child. They were beyond childbearing years, and they got to see this child born into the world named Isaac. But they didn't see the multitudes of the stars. They didn't see the promised land in all of its glory with all of their descendants. They didn't see that fulfilled, but yet they believed and had faith that God would fulfill that promise. And so the preacher says to this congregation, keep the faith. Trust in the promises of God. Though you look around you and it looks like evil is winning, it looks like the bullies are getting the upper hand, it looks like God is nowhere in sight, open your eyes even wider. And look to see where God is now. And do your part as Abraham and Sarah did their part. In a way, what I hear in these words of Hebrews is trust in God, because ultimately it's really not about you. Only God knows the vast picture of salvation. God knows the great plan of redeeming the earth and all of creation and reconciling all things to God's self. We can't see it all at once, but we can trust in God that if we do our part, love will win in the end. I know what it's like to feel exhausted. Maybe you do too. Sometimes it's our personal circumstances that wear us out and wear us down. That physical health that we just can't seem to get back to. Something always going wrong in our bodies. Or maybe it's a relationship or a family system that is unhealthy and dysfunctional, and we try our best to be loving and have good boundaries and love our family, and yet the dysfunction seems to win again and again. Or maybe it's our workplace. We're trying to do our best, and yet it's so toxic around us, we don't seem to be making a difference. Or maybe we're experiencing that kind of exhaustion and despair on a global level, on a communal level. We work so hard to bring about justice for the poor, to end the problem of homelessness, and yet it seems to just get worse. Later this week, we're going to be gathering on Wednesday night with the rabbi from West Nashville Synagogue to look at a book about anti-Semitism written by Professor Deborah Lipstadt. I was reading the introduction to her book, and she was talking about all of the other books she's written in the past. Most of her studies have been around the Holocaust and anti-Semitism in the past. And she said that, she has discovered, is so much easier to write about than anti-Semitism today. Because we like to think it's locked in the past. It's done with. We're done with that. We know better now, right? And yet just a couple of weeks ago, somebody distributed all of these anti-Semitic flyers all over West Nashville. And her book is about how it's alive and well today. And I can only imagine someone like her, who's dedicated her life to making the world a better place for Jewish people and all of us, to see it coming back again and again. And we can feel that way sometimes. It's like whack-a-mole. You know, we're dealing with all of these struggles in our world, and it just seems to keep popping up and with a different face on it. And like that early congregation 2,000 years ago, it is easy for us perhaps to have drooping hands and weak knees and to say we're just tired. And where is the kingdom? Where is God? But this preacher, whose voice echoes to us from 2,000 years ago, takes us by the chin and lifts up our heads and says, keep the faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. And so we come week after week into this time of worship, and we hear the prophets, as we heard last week, giving us a vision of what God is doing even now. We hear the words in our communion liturgy of let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. We hear of the wolf and the lamb lying together. We see the vision at the end of the book of Revelation of the tree of life and all the nations of the earth living in peace and unity together. And our posture gets a little straighter, and we remember what we are called to be and to do. The very first words of this text that we've heard are, now faith, and I know the preacher meant to use now as just sort of a conjunction, now faith, but it strikes me that perhaps he's calling us to now faith, to have faith now in the promises of God. Faith now can make all the difference. Amen.
Having heard God's word together, I invite you now to rise in body and in spirit to join us for our affirmation of faith this morning, found in number 883. Let us affirm our faith together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website for those of you that are following along online. And for those of you that are in the sanctuary with us, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that you can put in the offering plates as they are passed. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Holy One, we are so grateful that we stand in a long line of faithful believers. You have been leading your people through trial and difficulty and always set before us a hope for today and for a better tomorrow. We pray that you would bless us in our time as we try to be as faithful. May we know the faith that is filled with hope in things not seen. Today we ask for now faith. Today, with all of the different hopes and struggles that each of us hold, give to us a faith like the grain of mustard seed that had small beginnings but yields large results. Give to us the faith to sit with and move the mountains of difficulty when they come to each of us. Give to us a faith that has a vision of a world where peace and love are the priority of the people and nations, and where war is no more. Give to us a faith such as Abraham's, to move forward not knowing our destination, but trusting in you and your guiding providence. Give to us a faith to endure the moments of personal turmoil and trust that you are with us. Give to us a faith that sees welfare of all others as our business, because it is the focus of who you are and your enduring love of your people. God, give us faith to walk with you through the ebb and flow of life and trust that your steadfast love will go with us into the future. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give with the options listed on the screen or chat. Let us now offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
Okay, because we have a few extra minutes and we have a piano, let's do that chorus again. We could sing lustily. Let's sing it. Sing of God's faithfulness. Can we do the chorus one more time? The refrain, I should say. Is God's faithfulness. May our faith be great in the promises of God. May we have now faith that feeds our souls, that quickens our footsteps, that lifts our chin and gives us hope, that the world might have hope and see through us the vision of the kingdom. Go in peace. Amen.